This is AJ with Casey Jones Distillery here in Hopkinsville. I'm the founder, master distiller, janitor, plumber, you name it, at Casey Jones Distillery.
And we're happy to have you. We're happy to have you. All right. Well, AJ, my friend, welcome to the show. I talk to a lot of whiskey folk out there, but it's always fun and, you know, kind of refreshing to talk to an actual Kentuckian. Kentuckian, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kentuckian, country.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Some say the, you know, the birthplace of bourbon and, you know, the where it all, you know, where it burns the hottest to some degree. But you've created an interesting thing here that I can't wait to dive into. So, of course, we're talking about what I have here is the Total Eclipse Bourbon and the Total Eclipse Moonshine. And with this package, and we'll get into this a little later down the road, came the nifty little two pairs of the eclipse glasses so I can stare at the sun without my eyeballs melting out of my face. So it's kind of cool and intuitive and, you know, something you can play with. But outside of this project, which we'll get into, you just create good whiskeys, good spirits. Can you tell me a little bit about the history that led up to here? You know, just so my audience can capture, encapsulate, is that a word? Yeah. The full idea of what you brought to the table.
Okay. So just a history of how this all started is actually an accident for me. Something I tried to turn to a hobby, and then the hobby took control and created a business. So, you know, if you ever want to retire, start a hobby and watch out. You know, be careful what you start.
Yeah.
So our history goes back to my grandfather, who was known Casey Jones. It was a nickname for him. It wasn't his real name. His real name was Alfred. And the reason why he got the nickname Casey, believe it or not, was because he would only sell his moonshine by the case. So a couple guys called him Casey, and the case guy, here comes the guy. He only sold it to you by case. So somehow or another, it started the Casey. And he just let it stick with him because he was doing all this stuff illegal. Nickname's great, you know, nobody knows who he really is. He thinks it's going to work like that, but it doesn't quite work like that. So Casey, he was a really good still builder. When he first started doing moonshines, he created his very first still, and I'm not sure he even ever saw another still prior to that. And his still was square, which was unusual shape, but it was really convenient, really sturdy, and able for them to pack in and out of the woods very easily where they're doing this stuff illegal. So that square still actually operates faster than a normal one because what it's doing, it's spread out over a surface, and so they used fire to run this by. And so they could spread that fire out underneath, and of course they're going to heat up really quick, and they're going to run pretty efficient that way and able to maintain the heat they need with wood to produce the alcohol that they wanted to produce. The other side of it was, instead of a copper coil like you see in most all your old stills, you know, copper coil, copper pipe just coiled up and would sit down in a tub or something to cool. We created what we call a Kent condenser. It was a double-walled condenser. So if you can imagine taking a can and then creating another can around it and trapping your moonshine fumes between those two layers of copper. And I'm not, you've probably seen this still, but that was very efficient way of cooling, so they could actually run faster. His stills would produce a gallon about 3.5 minutes. So that was
wow.
Pretty fast.
Yeah, I've fast. Seen until you know, I've seen a lot of different stills and been educated a lot about different stills, coffee still, of course, your pot still, and whatnot. I mean, you have the tallest stills, the tallest, you know, the gooseneck and everything else out there. This is the first square still that I think I've ever seen. And it's very interesting. The surface area, I know, is important to some still makers, and this is obviously going to capture. I don't want to get into it because I'm sure it's daunting, but the science of what's going on in that still is intriguing to me. But the production speed, especially for this day and age, where whiskey is in its heyday, luckily, and you know, that continuance is going to demand more and more product. You're able to create quicker in a unique still, grabbing a unique flavor profile in itself. And then, I mean, I'm sipping on the 100 proof right now, the Total Eclipse Bourbon, and I'm assuming it's made in this still. It is absolutely fantastic, not fast, very flavorful, and very rich. So there's something to be said for that still. I'm picturing him carrying this thing around versus rolling it. But then I'm like, well, I guess you really couldn't roll a drum through the woods either, because I know that's why casks were around, to roll them. But if you're loading in a truck and you got to move, and if you don't want the police or whoever to identify something in the back of your truck, why not make it look different? It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant and unique. You're still using it today, right? You call it the grandfather still, I believe, is what we're calling it now.
We have one now that's called the grandfather. The one that we used here for the first 8 years of production, we have kind of retired that. We've left it where it can run, so we can come back maybe and do a run on it and so forth, time to time. But that still that we use today, I built that one off of the same design as my grandfather's. Modified the condenser just a little bit. So rather than it sitting inside of a wooden barrel for water going around it, I made an extra layer of copper around the inside and outside. So it has four layers of copper.
Okay.
And the outer layer and the very inside layer is a water jacket. So very efficient, much more, it's even more efficient than Casey's. So it takes minimum water to cool it. So very efficient.
Yeah, but, it's beautiful too.
That was an experience, believe me.
I'm sure.
I've been around plumbing and all that stuff and soldering copper for plumbing, but never cheap goods to make a still.
Yeah.
So I had a good one to go by. You know, I have the last original still that Casey ever built, and the only legal still he ever built. So, and the reason why I say that is, and if you're familiar with Land Between the Lakes or not, it's an area here that the government removed all the people in the 50s and 60s and turned it into federal land.
Right.
And kind of like almost like a state park. But we're talking about a huge area. So when they did that, they built a visitor center there at Land Between the Lakes. And they really wanted to talk about the moonshine that went on in that part of the country. It was well known. Al Capone got product from there. And a lot of product went to Tennessee. A lot of product went to Chicago from there. A lot of it was my grandfather's product. So, but at any rate, they turned that in. They built this museum and visitor center, and they put a still in there, and they put Casey's name all over it. All the stories were about Casey, but it wasn't Casey's still. And Casey got after him, and they commissioned him to build one for that visitor center, the Square Pot, which with all the history was about. And so that lived at that visitor center ever since I was a child growing up, all the way up until 2007, maybe 2007. The Forestry Department took over management of Land Between the Lakes from TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority. And when they did, they came in and they changed out all the displays in the center, and they actually put in one of Casey's miniature stills in there and took the big still and put it and all the stuff that went with it into a storage building. And my wife Peg was through there and saw that it was gone. And of course, we visited numerous times, and She's we started asking questions, what happened to it, and realized they had took it out, put it in storage, and it took a year of working with them, but we actually got them to give it back to the family, which was me. And so I had this here in my garage for several years before I got the urge to start playing around with it. And I'd set up a secret room in my garage that nobody knew about, and me and my buddies were in there playing around with this still and learning how to do this stuff that I wasn't taught how to do it, you know. And it was a lot of fun. And of course, my wife pig said, "You're going to get us in trouble, you know. Just too many people know about it. More and more people are knowing about it. Your buddies aren't being too quiet,
Let me,
nor are you."
and to the listeners, let me just paint this picture. A still can make whiskey, can get you in jail, or can be a bomb. You choose. So so thank God it went the positive route. But that's really, really cool. It's sad that it's not in the museum anymore, but I mean you can now go to your distillery and see it there.
Yes, it's
And
here.
yeah, and somewhat sounds like somewhat production. So you have this legacy of whiskey in your family, you know, your grandfather. And you're not the lone story. I know there's people that was the income back then, you know. It was
Yeah, I would.
who was good at it, who wasn't. And the ones that were good at it, you know, stapled in history. So your grandfather is one of those. You waited a while, right? I assume retired or whatever, got into the hobby process of it. What, other than his still, what did you rely on from your grandfather to kind of take this hobby and move it to the next step? What where's that? Tell me about that motivation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like I said, with the still it myself, and I worked with my grandfather from the time I was old enough to go out on the construction job or at home, get out and do things with him. I helped him work on engines and you name it. I was even around when he was building the little miniature stills that he built for people to model the original ones he built for him, and which are highly sought after stills. If you can find one, let me know.
I'm sure,
I
yeah.
have one. I have one, but you can't hardly find them. And but any rate, so being around him and growing up, he when granddad spent two different times in the pen for making moonshine, and they sent him all the way over to Mill Point Federal Penitentiary in West Virginia, and I actually visited that place. That's another story. But any rate, he after his first time, he got a year. The second time he got two, he quit. And of course, I would imagine he needed to. But anyway, when he quit, he came out and he came to work for my dad, who had a construction company. And of course, dad gave it up a long time ago. He actually, him and his buddies, when they were making it when he was young, they were about to get put away, and dad joined the Marines to get out of it. When he came back from Marines, he never went back into it. We always made wine at home, but not moonshine, not whiskey. But at any rate, so I grew up around him, learned a lot of things from him, you know, and heard stories, but didn't know about him. But you know, never physically was able to take part of making moonshine. Like I said, we made a lot of wine, so we did a lot of fermentation with the wine and so forth. So I did grow up around that. So I just took that, and I had actually had kin folk that were still like doing this stuff. So I still had a family recipe,
There you go.
So with that recipe, that's kind of what started the process of playing around with it and then going legal.
Yeah, thankfully.
And yeah, the desire, and also the desire to build a still, you know, that's to me, that was an amazing thing for me to have done, was to build the still that we used the first 8 years of production here. And actually, when I fired it up the very first time, and it actually worked, it actually worked very well. I described that as probably being more exciting than when my second child was
There it
born, you
is.
know.
Yeah.
It
No,
was pretty exciting.
this is a safe place, so it's okay to admit that. Yeah, that's cool. I'm sipping on the moonshine now. Listening to your story about your grandfather and your family and your growing up, I decided to pour a little bit of it. This is incredibly delicious. I mean, it's super grain forward, sweet in the right ways. You know, to the folk out there that don't know, I mean, a lot of my listeners are entry level into whiskey. Some are pros, some are, entry level. I would say even more so are entry level to what moonshine is, or first run, or whatever terminology you want to use. Can you talk a little bit about what makes a good moonshine and what people should expect? Because the mentality right now for the outsiders, of course, is just moonshine is just hot gasoline water, and you're going to go blind if you drink it, and that's the end of the story. It's much more complex than that. A lot of cool things about moonshine. Can you chat with us a little bit about what a good moonshine really means?
Part of it is the process which we make it. Of course, it's a corn and cane recipe, and the fermentation process portion of it, is slow. It's not easily controlled to keep it from getting hot, you know, and so forth. So there's a little bit of variation in it, which really helps in the taste, in my mind, between the batches. So, for example, we fermented in 55-gallon plastic food grade drums, and so it took three, four batches to fill the still of that fermentation. And between those variations of how they fermented, created kind of different tastes. Sometimes you got a lot of apple off of it in the beginning. Sometimes you got a lot of caramel with it along with it. So that portion of it, and then the process, like I say, which we do this still. To explain this the best way that I can, we just got through putting in 1,000 gallon hybrid still. So, you know, we're thinking we can run our moonshine 1,000 gallon batches and be great with it. I think we tried 20 times and never could repeat the taste that we have by doing with the square pot still. That just tells you we could not recreate that taste. Very similar, very close, but not there. And so for that, we kind of just gave up on that process, strictly use that for bourbon. And then we take the square pot. We had had a commercial grade industrial steam square pot still build, and very proud of that still. It's called the Grandfather. And I didn't name it, somebody else named it. And I'll tell you that story too, I'd like to. But anyway, that still. It operates and works the same way as the one we used up here. And I can recreate that taste with that. And I still ferment in 55-gallon drums to load that still. It
Wow.
takes five
Yeah, of
to load
course.
it. But it's a unique experience for our guests. The taste is right, and it just works. I mean, I don't know how to describe it.
I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. It's sweet and not too sweet. Grain forward. I like grainy whiskeys. But when I, if you've ever gotten the chance, listener, to taste, the first run or the hearts, off a still, it's a treat and it's magical. But the second best thing is just find a quality white spirit and just really enjoy it. And there's a lot of flavor in there. And before it becomes your traditional whiskey barrel, aged whiskey with the color, it's just something pure about it that I really like and clean. And it's not harsh. It shouldn't be harsh. It's good. It's very, very. I would enjoy a glass of this just hanging out with
People,
friends.
yeah. People that get to try it here are, you know, they're just blown away by it. Just like what you're describing. They're blown away by it because they're used to hearing how bad moonshine is and you know, so forth. We do a really good job of our cutting process on the still, you know, cutting out the bad stuff in the beginning and getting through the hearts in the middle and then dropping off the tails. And then we rerun those heads and tails in with the next batch. So there's a cycle that we're redoing with it that maintains that taste. You could start out with a batch. That very first batch is not going to be the same as a batch now that you're in the process and you're rerunning parts of your heads and tails. That all is part of that taste. It's all necessary. And so we do a good job of that. And then people, you know, they're scared of moonshine because they've heard about the blind stories and the headaches and all that stuff. But I will tell you, people that drink this, our moonshine, don't have headaches. You're not going to have headaches from it. It's good, good, solid product.
And for just fun fact for the listeners, and then we can get, I want to hear where the name grandfather came from. Yeah, the blindness, the headaches, the sickness, the dying, that's the first run, or I'm sorry, the heads, I guess, if you
It
will.
is
There's a lot of,
the
a lot of bad, nasty stuff in there. And if you don't catch it in time, and back then they were eyeballing it, you know what I mean? Now we got a little more advanced, but back then they were like, I guess it's ready. And then if it wasn't, you were done. So,
So I actually had a gentleman here. He was in his 90s, and he used one of my grandfather's stills, and he knew my grandfather. And here, and I was letting him sit at the end of the still when I was running it one day. I separate mine by gallon jugs. So I get off like a gallon off the beginning, and I set that down aside on the floor somewhere. And then I get off the next two, which are really the heads. Then I get into the hearts. When I got into the hearts on that third gallon, I asked him if he'd like to taste, and he said, "Oh, I was ready on that first gallon." I said, he said, "Why did you set that off down the floor?" And I said, "Well, we don't use that. I mean, that stuff's great weed killer. We don't use it. Oh, we put it all in there and just cut it." So that told you that they didn't a lot of times pull off the stuff that they needed to pull off. And when it got down weak, they just kept going and used that to cut their product with a lot. So anyway, completely different process. He was blown away, but he stayed for the whole run and was blown away by how we operated it.
I mean,
So
this conversation could find its way into, bonded, the bonded act and all of those things to protect us from things like that. And but yeah, back then you had a supply and demand. You didn't want to get rid of much. If it could be poured in a bottle, you were giving it out. But then if it wasn't good, your high rollers like your Al Capones weren't interested. So you picked your journey. So grandfather, there's a little bit of a story there I'm hearing, and I love a good, I love a rich story.
So the when we had our 1,000 gallon still built, the company Specific Distilling out of Canada is who we use to build our hybrid column still. We didn't order a square still at that time. We had quoted with Vendome, and we hadn't quoted with them. And Vendome was like 2 years out on anything. And we were ready to try to get going with this thing in a year. And so we went with them, and then we hadn't done anything on a square still. And so I finally got them to quote that. And man, they told me the same thing. It's going to be almost 2 years before we can do that custom build on it. And I said, "Oh man." I said, "That's no, we weren't expecting that. And there's no way to get it when we get this 1,000 gallon. No, there's no way. Okay, we're just not going to do anything. We'll just go with the 1,000. We won't do anything. We'll just wait and figure out what we're going to do on square still." And so the guy, the sales rep, kept calling me back. And of course, I had sent him my drawings on it, and they had took it and they had quoted it, and the engineers took it, looked at it, and came up with their design. And they really, really liked the square still deal. They just never saw one, never heard of one. And so he kept calling me a couple of different times, and they called me and said, "AJ, said, you're gonna build this still, get this still built." And "No, it's just gonna take y'all too long to do it, and I'll just wait." So finally, like July 1st, he calls me. He said, "AJ, I got something I got to talk to you about." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, my owner of our company, our engineers, our guys in the still house, everybody wants to build that square still. And if you'll commit to it, if you'll commit to that square still right now, you'll say yes to it. We want to showcase it in September at the American Distilling Conference in St. Louis, Missouri. That was 2 years ago. And we want it to be a center showpiece at the conference of our custom build abilities. Okay. All right. Yeah. Is you going to do that? So we'll deliver it to you right after that, you know, the end of September, which is about the same time you're going to get your other still. So I'm thinking, man, it went from 2 years to 3 months.
Yeah.
And so we said yes. And that was exciting. And I saw it for the first time at that conference. We went to that conference and we were there when they opened up doors and went in and, you know, looking at all these, you know, different booths and everything else. And there stood that grandfather right out in the middle of the, they were right in the middle of the big showroom everywhere. So it was pretty amazing. They had done a story about Casey and they had, you know, all kinds of signings. They had a video they did about him as well. The history of it and all that stuff. And it was pretty exciting to see. So
that is so cool. That is absolutely cool.
You know, couldn't wait to get that thing hooked up. And finally, when we do finally get everything hooked up and working, the very first time we get to try it, it was pretty amazing. It ran sweet. It was like just a sweet little run. So, you know, I can run that still same time I'm running the other still. And I can wait and fire it up after I get the big one up and running, and I can have that one done in 4 hours. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that's absolutely cool. What's history?
Yeah, it has a nice big shiny plaque on the front they put on it, cut in the stainless steel, has the grandfather still, which I thought was very cool. So anyway,
it's neat to live in a time though, because you know, you would think with inventions and everything, you know, whiskey production or food production or whatever, you wouldn't get to see a first time of something. And what I love about this industry is I get to see the first time, the first square still, and then not just for novelty, it actually produces in a certain way and creates a certain thing based on its shape, so it has purpose. I think that's awesome. I think that's really cool, and I think that that's history in the making. So let's jump into something real quick that I think is really neat. I'm a bit of a space geek, so I nerd out about these things. So we have the Four Grain Total Eclipse Bourbon, the Total Eclipse Moonshine, all purposed for the solar eclipse on April 8th. Correct. Talk
yes,
to me.
And we all,
yeah.
We also have a barrel cut.
Yes, that's true. Barrel cut. Yes. Talk to me about that thought process. Like, where did this idea come from? It's a cool idea. I can't wait to have a glass and look at the moon or look at the sun, which I've done, but you know, not in this process. But talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay, so where everything originally started was in 2017. There was a major eclipse across the United States that came in on the West Coast and went out on the East Coast. Well, our little town, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, was considered to be the very center point of that eclipse, which was the longest longevity for an eclipse in America. Mm. So our little town, you know, had a great visitor center, great person operating that. And we actually knew about it. So we trademarked Total Eclipse Moonshine 2 years before the eclipse in 2017.
Innovative. That's awesome.
And we released it in 2015. So we had a big release here and so forth, and we were selling it all the way up to that. And of course, what happened was, you know, because of the location, and we decided to do a big festival here as well. We actually entertained about 6,000 people here the day of the eclipse, which was pretty amazing thing in itself. And you talk about first, and I don't know if the second one can't match the first one.
Never can.
No. And so we trademarked that Total Eclipse Moonshine, and we had several other things that happened along the way. Very good product. We decided to do 100 proof of that. And of course, we kept stuck with the 100 proof, 100 proof totality, 100% totality. Hmm. But at that time, we had moonshine, and then we had barrel cut, and we didn't have a lot of barrel cut at that time. But during that eclipse, we aged we put up some barrels and we let the people that were there sign the barrels. And so that's been a special product I'm going to tell you about in a minute, show you about in a minute, because you don't have one of those.
Mm-mm.
Which I'll make sure you get one, but it's going to be special to me today because I'm actually going to taste it with in front of you. And this will be the first time I've tasted this because I have been sick this last week when they dumped the barrel, and we've never pulled a sample out of this barrel. So it's a completely blind taste for me.
I love it. I love that.
Yeah. And so it done, it was bottled, and it's about to be finished and ready to go out. But when it came to the actual product, the Total Eclipse Moonshine, which I have a bottle here, you see, and Total Eclipse Bourbon, Total Eclipse Bourbon, and then this is a special barrel cut that we got to do. So this is going to be fun. So, with the Eclipse being the location, being the point of totality, and believe it or not, I never experienced somebody after a product as crazy as they were after the Total Eclipse Moonshine. What happened, we got a lot of great media coverage because of our location and what we were doing, and because of trademarking Total Eclipse Moonshine. Actually made it on CBS Sunday Morning. They did an episode here at the distillery, and they kind of warned us to be prepared that things would go crazy once that show aired, which it aired about 6 weeks before the eclipse. They weren't lying.
Plenty.
It went nuts. And of course, we couldn't ship it any other state. It was only available here in Kentucky. So, you know, we had thousands of people here. We had lines outside of our gift shop for 3 days, you know, just crazy deep, and the amount of people trying to get in and buy it. And at that time, you could buy a case. So people were buying a case at a time. And we saw what was happening. So we had ramped up. We were running the still around the clock, and we were bottling like 2-3 shifts to get product ready. And so it was a fun time. It was busy, but it was a fun time.
Yeah.
And so that's how we got started with all the product. And of course, we decided that along with the Eclipse, now that we were into making bourbons and so forth and have product aging, that we wanted to do a special bourbon for the Eclipse. So we chose a 4-grain.
Mm.
And I love the taste of it. It's if you've tasted it, you have not, but it's
yeah,
it's
I have. Pretty special as it's well. Great.
Yeah, it's pretty special as well. So with that, and then of course we've had 4 barrels of barrel cut from the Eclipse that's been aging. This is going on 7th year. Then we got those special bottles that we'll be releasing.
I can't
and
wait.
And they'll be only here at the gift shop. So
we'll have to swing by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But our other product now is available for sale on our website. Our bourbon and our moonshines are available. People can buy them pretty well from any state, in which we're seeing already a lot of sales from it. You know, we just did a media release on that.
Yeah.
And
the bourbon's fantastic. That is the best moonshine I've ever had. It is. I'm on my 3rd glass now, so we'll see how the evening goes.
You'll love the barrel cut.
I can't wait.
You haven't had a chance. Okay.
No, not that one. So you have a special one you're going to taste for us. Is that true?
Yep. I have the one, like I said, see if I can set this up and you can see it a little bit closer.
Yeah. Oh, I love that bottle.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So, are you good with me tasting this?
Yes, thing? Yeah. I'm jealous, but I'm good with it. Next best thing, I guess.
Well, so my grandson works here, and he's been here. He'll be here 4 years coming up on his anniversary here this month. They dumped it and bottled it, and I asked him. I said, "What happened to my sample bottle?" And he said, "We didn't do one." I said, "Didn't do one." I said, "I haven't tasted it yet. How you know it's good enough to be put in a bottle?" He said, "It's good enough, you know."
That's strong.
So, but I hadn't tasted it, so here we go.
This is cool.
Oh, yeah. So you get a really good wood taste with their with our barrel cut product, and a cane, get that cane as well on the smell. Man, it's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
There it is. So he keeps his job.
Yeah, he keeps the job.
That's awesome.
That's pretty amazing when we put that up.
Yeah. So talk to, what do you think? You're smiling ear to ear, so obviously this is a cool
Yeah.
moment for me to watch a distiller taste something for the first time, but he went in for a second sip.
So many people. They have a hard time telling that's not bourbon. It's different. It's a different taste than bourbon. But people can't describe it a lot of times, first time they've ever tasted it. They just don't know what they've not tasted anything like it.
Yeah, it's
So
unique.
I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but I'm gonna send you a bottle.
Oh, cheers, mate. I can't wait to
Yeah.
see that. Yeah, thank you
Yeah.
so
Then you
much.
have to give me a shout out once you taste it.
Oh, 100%. I'll do it. I'll do it, and I'll have friends over too, so we can taste it together. That's incredible. And that's got to be a proud moment for you. You know, your grandson just kind of taking the reins there. Hey, I didn't get you a sample. It's done, and then you're proud.
He can do anything that I've been able to do here. He's still
Beautiful.
young, he still needs to know, and he's still got a little bit of play in him, and
Well,
but he can do it. He's like my right hand now, so
yeah.
he'll take stuff and he'll get it done if I ask him, and he'll do anything. So he's learning. He's learned how to. When he came out of school, he didn't done nothing. I'm telling you, he's 18. He hadn't worked
Yeah.
nowhere, barely mowed yard. He was a computer gaming boy, and the thought that was going to be his career was gaming computers and stuff. And he found out the hard way there isn't no money to be made there. So
Yeah.
we put him to work. I mean, and what actually happened, which was, there's a lot of really bad stuff that happened with COVID. But there's also a lot of really good stuff that happened with it too. And we were this is kind of a neat story. I mean, it's a heartwhelming story to me. When COVID hit, they told us we couldn't do anything. We basically were all shut down, and I was running a little bit of moonshine, and I had two people and getting ready to send them off and just shut it down, close the doors for now. And I had a friend call me from Columbia, Tennessee, and he owns a company called Froggy's Fog. He makes the fog that you see come out of the Blue Angel jets, and that you see at all the big music festivals and the stages and so forth. His company came up and patented a product that's used on cruise lines. Disney uses it everywhere. Anyway, he saw that during COVID that all the other side of his business was going to be kind of brought to a stop. He switched over and was going to make sanitizer, and he had ordered isopropyl alcohol to do that with, and ordered a container load of it, and had all the other ingredients, bought all the other ingredients to do it with. And he was aiming to do it really big time. And the government came in and seized his alcohol. And he couldn't do anything. He was stuck. So he called us. Said, I know y'all can't furnish the alcohol amounts that I need, but maybe you got some connections with some of the other bigger distilleries and can help me track down the alcohol. I can't buy the type of alcohol you use, but the government is saying you can use that type of alcohol for sanitizer. And so we started, and we actually have a ethanol plant here in Hopkinsville that's farmer co-op, so farmer owned, and we knew a lot of the farmers that own parts of that. And we called out and talked to the manager out there, and he said, "Give me a week." He said, "I believe I can make the product that you need for this sanitizer, and I can make you tons of it." And so we were able to work all that out where we bought the alcohol and bought it through our distillery with our license, and turned around and sold it out to him, denatured, and so he could use it. We helped his company turned around and helped us by giving us, selling us the product to make sanitizer, the other ingredients that we needed. So we became really quick, really big in the sanitizer business. But we had to move fast and we had to take big, big chances. You know, containers to put sanitizer in wasn't available. We sold ours in 1/2 gallon jugs
Yeah.
and no pumps, there was no pumps available. And we had to buy container loads of jugs in order to get it. So they're like 5 tractor trailer loads of jugs, 1/2 gallon jugs, just to get the material to put it in. And so we turned into a blending place here. And there wasn't an ounce of this distillery that wasn't covered in sanitizer stuff. And Cody, our business partner that we brought, we actually brought him on as a business partner after that. He was working for us, doing online stuff for us, handling our social media and those kind of things. And he would be doing things like this probably with you. And anyway, he was able to get us up online with our website and set up to sell it. And we started selling online and we were shipping to every country in the United States. We had 55,000 customers
Wow.
in just a month's time that we were shipping to. I was hiring everybody I could hire. I brought my grandson, my granddaughter, my brother, my sister. Family members came to help, friends came to help, and we were all bottling sanitizer like crazy and shipping it out the door. And so the very first time we did that, you know, I told everybody here, I said, I know this is also a business, but this is also about helping people that need help. You know, we're able to do it. Somebody put us in this position to be able to do this at this crisis point in America. And we stepped up to it. And we had a policy when we started this. Our prices stayed the same throughout the whole time we sold it for 2 years or better. We set it at a price of $19.99 for a 1/2 gallon jug, which was lower than what it was before the pandemic started. And if somebody lost their jug, didn't make it to them, or their jugs that didn't make it to them, we turned around and shipped it, no questions asked.
That's
And
beautiful.
so we stayed throughout the whole way. The very first month and a half, it was free shipping, and we had to start charging some shipping because we started shipping, you know, like say all over the country, California, those areas in New York, some of those were pretty high to get shipped into.
Yeah.
There was a lot of loss. There was a lot of things. You know, we didn't make a fortune off of it by no means, but it did allow us to build one of the buildings we use today for the new distillery, and it did get our name out to a lot of people, and that was valuable when we were able to get back into, you know, the distillery business for alcohol you can drink. A lot of people knew us by now, and knew we also sold good alcohol. We sold good sanitizer.
Yeah.
So that really was it was a big help to us on that. But we did our part, and that's when my grandson came to work, and he had learned the hard way. But he worked hard and made it. There were some times he didn't want to work. He didn't want to. I'm not sure I want to do this, but I stayed after him. You know,
Yeah.
that's what you get to do. So.
He reminds me just hearing about him. I've gotten the chance to hang out with Freddie
All right.
a few times, and it's kind of the same story. So generation after generation, you know. Except he tells me his daughter is very interested, and she may be the next in that family. We'll see. But I like seeing legacy. That's that story. It was beautiful. People helping people is what draws me into this industry. It's why I have a podcast about it. It's why I'm so intrigued by it, because of how amazing the people in it are. The history is rich, and the product is just, if done correctly with love and care, and you believe in what you're doing, it's also hard. It's you know, it's daunting. It's financially, you know, nerve-wracking. It's a thing, and I just think it's.
So right now we have third generation, which is me. My son, he works for us, but he works off-site. He is our top accounting controller. So he takes care of all the top books and so forth, but he doesn't have to be here every day. He has another full-time job. And so he's 4, and then my grandson's number 5.
That's
So, which
incredible.
yeah, it's cool. So you got third, fourth, fifth generation working here at the
That is cool.
distillery together. So, yeah.
Well, listen, AJ, I can't wait to, I want to see more. The second I get that bottle on April 8th, I'll do a live, you know, it'll be, I'll make it a thing. I want people to know about this. I want you listeners to get out there and grab this. It's a cool story. It's delicious. It's delicious, spirit. That moonshine is just knocking me off my socks. I mean, the bourbon is excellent. That moonshine is incredible. You obviously care, and you obviously have a team that care. We're going to wrap up, and, you know, but before we go, I just, you know, where can people find you? Tell me a little bit about, you know, the complex, the gift shop. You know, I want people to come there, and I want them to experience this. So where, when, how, what's going on? What do you have coming up other than the April 8th thing, of course? And, yeah, it's your floor.
Okay, so I'm going to start out with and finish up on this eclipse for just a second. But this is the thing you're talking about with the pair of glasses. You got one of those?
Right here. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, nifty box, two bottles, and two pair of glasses, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So during the original eclipse, we also, when you bought a bottle, you get a pair of glasses. So that was pretty neat for people. So, yeah, that gift pack, we're selling the far out of it here at the distillery. It has actually gone out to a few places, like the distributor out in California has picked it up. There's one up in New York that's going to be picking up a gift box. So there are some places that gift boxes out there besides just here. And of course, you know, the bottle, the bourbon, you tried that, you liked that really well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then, of course, this barrel cut. This is going to be great.
I'm excited. I wish I had it with me to taste it with you. But
yeah. So the other thing is coming up, in which I'm trying to get her to come in here a minute so I can introduce you to my wife, Peg. She is the reason why we exist. You know, she is the one that said, you got to go legal. We got to go legal. And so she puts in all the effort to maintain and keep all the straight here at the distillery. So we're celebrating her 69th birthday on the 30th of March.
Wow.
And this is a special bottle for that.
That's
and,
awesome.
That's going to be released that day of her birthday. We're actually selling a few bottles of it online, and we're selling a special tour with her and me, which we don't hardly ever do tours. We just don't have the time. But that day we're going to do a dinner and a tour with us, and those tickets are being sold online.
That's awesome.
For that day.
Yeah.
And of course we have other bourbons, and of course, you know, this bottle has been aging at the Total Eclipse. We also sell a version of it, which we call our single barrel cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also sell a version of it that's called the double barrel. So we actually take that single barrel cut and we actually put it into a second barrel after a few years. And usually it's a bourbon. It's either a rye or a wheat, a high rye or a wheat, or some of the different types of barrels that you can get a hold of. We've done wine barrels and so forth, and give it a second finish to it. And of course, then our wheat is fixing to be, all of our wheat now is going to be 5 years old.
That I got to get my hands on.
Yeah, we're fixing to have a bottle your own event with this, which we do every year, a couple times a year, where the people could actually come and participate and fill their own bottle.
Cool.
And that's been a very successful event, and people have loved it, and we have people that are following it now and want to do it every time we do it. And so that'll be a 5 year old. We did a 5 year old on our white label. Which this is kind of a special one too. It's different. You not had this yet.
No.
This is a 96% corn and 3% rye and 1% malt. So this is a sweet bourbon.
Yeah.
And has a really great taste. And of course, we just did a 5 year old bottle your own event in Thanksgiving on it.
96% corn.
Yeah.
Wow. A little spice from the rye. I'm looking forward to that one. That's the, okay, yeah. I see it here. Yeah. I'm going through your little menu. It was sent to me. I mean, there's a lot going on here. Barrel cut, apple cut, muscadine cut. I grew up in Texas, Oklahoma, so muscadines have some meaning to me. Peach cut, of course. Casey cut. Then you have your barrel cut. I mean, you have a beautiful looking rye. I mean, you have a lot to offer. So it's a product that I think you can order it for my Virginia listeners. I know I've seen it around. I've seen it in people's shelves around here, so they're getting it somehow. Yeah, so it's out there. If you haven't visited Kentucky, go. It's a beautiful place, a lot of distilleries, and stop by this one too, and just, I mean, take a look. It's, they're doing incredible. You're doing incredible things.
Yeah, we're located, you know, right outside of Hopkinsville, about 3 miles out of the city, and on the countryside. We sit on 74 acres here. It's a beautiful piece of property. We have about a 3-acre lake behind the distillery. We do music events here. We're open every Friday and Saturday night till 9 o'clock throughout the summer, starting in May and all the way through the end of September. And we see a lot of people come out and extended stays. We do a little bit of extended tours those days as well. I mean, you want to be outside, you know, in summertime. It's pretty. It's here. It's a nice, beautiful place to take, bring your kids, have a picnic, walk around the lake. So we have a really, people are really blown away by our property when they come.
I shall be visiting.
Yeah, we live on the property. Our home's on the property. And so we maintain it very well. And love to have people come visit with us. We do a lot of tours, and maybe you can catch me and maybe Peg, and maybe we can give you a special tour or something.
I can't wait.
We're all about our military and first responders and so forth. I mean,
beautiful.
People that help us be able to do what we're doing. And we're all about that. It's a great place to be in our life right now.
Yeah.
I'm 67, Peg's 69. Hopefully this younger generation is going to take it on and do something with it. We brought Cody on. He's a lot younger than we are. He's a great business partner for us. He's actually in Europe right now, him and his wife. They're over there at Proline. We've got product over there that they're being tasted on and so forth. So we're looking at selling in overseas now. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. I expect big things. Big things are already here. You got a great team behind you, and obviously you care. There's no reason not to be big. And when I'm out there next, hopefully soon, I do plan on visiting. I'll hit you up before I come. Maybe we can get together and we can share a dram together. But AJ, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, my friend. I can't wait to meet you in person, and I can't wait to try more. And I'm looking forward to this event on April 8th in the sky. And I absolutely will be promoting what you're doing because it's that good. But my friend, thank you so much. Cheers.
Thank you.